At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Oh, there is plenty that can be learned from the Big 12 Conference by Ohio State. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is how you join us and follow us. We cover the Big 12, and it was an okay national championship game. It wasn't one I'm going to remember. Now, it wasn't Georgia-TCU, but it was more or less a blowout. It's 31-7 at one point, and you're sitting there saying, okay, this game's over. Notre Dame kind of made it compelling when they got it down to 8 points, but the field goal by Ohio State basically put it away. But if you're a Big 12 fan, there is something that can be learned here by your team, your program, your boosters, your donors, all the people involved now in making a college football program successful. And what does all this mean for the Big 12 Conference? Well, first off, I look at it and I say to myself, money can buy you a really good team. It can be one booster. It can be a lot of boosters. It can be one massive donor. It can be 1,000 medium-sized donors. But money can buy you a championship. College football has become Major League Baseball. But here's the better part if you're a college football fan. Your market size really doesn't matter. If you have one massive donor in Lubbock, Texas, good on you. You can buy yourself at least a lot of good players, try to maintain some culture, and there's a lot that you're going to be able to do and a lot of success that you're going to be able to have. Same thing if you're in Ames, Iowa, if you're in Manhattan, Kansas. Now, it's going to cost you millions and millions and millions of dollars, but it can be done. Ohio State had the most talent in college football. A lot of people thought that before the season, and I thought it was on display on Monday night. And it's not meant to be a knock on anybody else, but they were the most talented team. Now, look at some of these numbers here. I want to show this to you. This will be the sixth straight year where the school with the most NFL draft picks wins the FBS title. All the experts that you look at will tell you Ohio State will have the most players drafted in the upcoming draft. Last year, Michigan had 13. The year before that, Georgia had 10. In 22, Georgia had 15. In 21, Alabama had 10. And in 2020, LSU had 14. This will be the sixth straight year, barring something unforeseen, where the school with the most NFL draft picks wins the FBS title. Yes, we talk a lot about development. And nowadays, you can look at the development angle and you can say to yourself, hey, you know what? We can make 3-star guys, 4-star guys, and 5-star players. There's a lot of Big 12 programs that do that very well. We just saw Will Howard win a national championship on Monday night. But it's not just about that. Now that the portal is wide open, I don't think there's any loyalty in college football anymore. I hate that for the sport. I don't like it for the sport. But for right now, it's the reality of the sport. Part of the charm of college football was getting to watch guys as freshmen, and maybe they play a game or two. Then they're a sophomore. Then they're a junior. Then they're a senior. And wow, that kid blossomed, huh? He became an all-conference guy. He might have made it to the NFL. Those days are over. You got to go to high school for that. Heck, even that now. Some of the guys in high school don't really get it, right? So times are changing, and we can be nostalgic all we want, but at least for the time being, they're not coming back. Until all the NIL stupidity and craziness gets sorted out and gets figured out, it's not coming back. I want it to. You want it. Well, I don't want to speak for you. I want it to, but for now, it's not going to happen. So the way the game is played is, yeah, it's great to be a blue blood, but a blue blood is not going to win you a national championship anymore. I think that's why Alabama is coming back to the pack. I think in part you're seeing that with Oklahoma. Texas is going to have a lot of money. Ohio State, the Big Ten schools, are going to have a ton of money. But this may actually be bad for the SEC and could be good for the Big 12 if you have the right donors lined up. I was watching and listening to Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports on Tuesday, and he made the point that the Big Ten is now above the SEC because the Big Ten will have bigger budgets, more wealthy alumni, more people who are willing to pay top dollar for college football players to come to their university and come to their program and help them win a national championship. And he talked about Michigan, Ohio State. He talked about how even Michigan State has big-time donors that people don't really realize that they have. Obviously, you've got USC in the mix. You've got Phil Knight at Oregon. And I see what he's saying. And I said the other night, I think that's good for the Big 12. I think it's good for college football for the SEC to be knocked off its perch. But from a Big 12 perspective, the Big 12 can take advantage of this. I mean, look at what Texas Tech is doing right now in the transfer portal. I'm not trying to knock Texas Tech at all, but do you think all these top transfers just really wanted to be in Lubbock, Texas? I think Lubbock, Texas is a great place. I do. I used to live in the panhandle. Well, not quite the panhandle. My friends up there are going to be mad. Not the panhandle of Oklahoma, but close to it. I spent a lot of time in the Texas panhandle. I was driving all over West Texas for six-man football games 15 years ago. Follett, Texas. If we have any Texas panhandle listeners and watchers, please let me know. Drop me a note. Pop it on YouTube or Facebook or X, wherever you're watching. Or if you're on the podcast, drop me an email, PeteMundo@HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Same with the radio show. And let me know. I love the Texas Panhandle. I've caught a lot of football there. Gosh, I wish I remember the great steakhouse on Highway 270 going through the eastern side of the Panhandle. But anyway, that aside, nothing against Lubbock, but let's be honest here. These guys in the portal didn't all just fall in love with Lubbock overnight. They're going for the coin. Now it's Joey McGuire's job to build the culture, to build the unity, to build a team. And that's a hard thing to do in this new environment to college football where you've got 20, 21, 22-year-old guys making a lot of money. Keeping that locker room together is not an easy task. Can it be done? Well, why is this happening at Texas Tech? It's happening because they've got, well, a couple of big donors, but probably the most notable is this guy named Cody Campbell. He's a co-founder of Double Eagle Energy Holdings. And, you know, he's got a ton of money. Two Texas Tech guys, played for Mike Leach. And he's been just killing it in the oil and gas industry. So he's the big one that people think about with Texas Tech. But it's not just oil guys. They've got a guy named Dustin Womble. His name is on the new football training facility. He's made his fortune in software. So these guys are dumping money into Texas Tech football, and that is what is happening, right? So now, if you're a fan of Oklahoma State, where's your T. Boone Pickens? RIP T. Boone. He was kind of a man ahead of his time. He did what he could, but you need that next T. Boone, unless T. Boone left a fortune I'm not aware of that you can now go spend on players. And if some of these coaches are going to be too hard-headed to be like, nope, I'm not going to do it. It's not how we do it here. Like, I respect building a program. When you look at which programs take in the fewest transfers, you have seen the last couple of years, Iowa State, Kansas State, usually at that bottom of the list, BYU's down there as well for obvious reasons. I respect that. I do. It's how I like watching college football, learning about teams, watching them grow. But you need somebody who's going to open up the pocketbooks. That's just a reality if you want to win big. If not, you might make the college football playoff. You might have a cute story. You might win a game or two. But that's it. You're not going to win national championships. You're not. Did you see Ohio State on Monday night? That was a minor league NFL team. The lines were enormous. I mean, Will Howard, God bless him. We've all watched Will Howard if you're a Big 12 fan. Will Howard, with all due respect, might have been the worst player on the field for Ohio State all night. And he's a really good player, right? but he might have been the worst player on the field for the Buckeyes. These guys were NFL light. There's not a Big 12 team right now that is going up against that and winning. But if your goal for the Big 12 is just to get to the playoff with one team, maybe two in a good year, maybe you pull an upset in a quarterfinal game, and you're rolling the dice in the semifinals, okay, fine. I don't think the Big 12 should settle for that. Because Blue Bloods, yes, they were in the national championship. And yeah, they were in the Final Four. Okay, great. But the Band-Aid's been ripped off. The SEC is losing its shine. If you get the donors and you get the money, you can win big right now in college football. Not tomorrow, not next year, not give me a few years to build the program, right now. That can happen today if you get the money people lined up. And every one of these major universities, they have big money people. Now, maybe they don't want to part with that money. Maybe they want to put that money on a building. And I get that. Listen, if I'm sitting on that kind of dough, do I want to put my name on a building that has lasting legacy? Or do I want to put it into basically a fund where no one's going to know that I was the guy that helped build the team and build the roster? Maybe you can do both if you got stupid money. But if it's one or the other, I would probably take the building too. Which is why the NIL stuff has got to be figured out and straightened out. But it's not happening tomorrow. It's not. And that's where if you are a Big 12 AD, I know you're shaking down donors for $5, $10, $15, $100 here and there. You've got to find a couple of whales. And I know they're all working on it. But that is the name of the game right now. You find your whales. That's what you need to make this thing happen. That's how you have to build your roster. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. I'm glad that you are here joining us. Hit the like button if you are just hopping on the show on YouTube. That helps us tremendously. If you're on the podcast, drop us that 5-star rating and review. It really does help us tremendously. James writes, my completely rational take is that the SEC are now the bottom feeder. Now that we can all pay players. That is from James. I don't know if they're bottom feeders, but certainly the playing field is leveling. And it's not a coincidence to me that we've seen Georgia and Alabama come back to the pack right as paying the players became legal. I don't think that's a coincidence.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Another comment here. Pete, I'm guessing you're as sharp as the K-State staff who let Will Howard go. The worst player in Ohio State, Pete, sometimes, ..
No.
That was a compliment to how good that Ohio State team is. Not a knock on Will Howard, okay? Let's be very clear about that. I'm not knocking Will Howard. I am complimenting the talent on the field for Ohio State, who will lead the NFL draft in players selected by any team in America. That's not a Will Howard knock. That's a testament to the other guys out there. Now, I don't know how you felt, but I want to get your feedback on this. The college football playoff wrapping up on Monday night. I know we've had the Monday night game since the 4-team playoff came into existence. But being the pimple on the ass of the NFL playoffs divisional round is a bad idea. This is not the best way forward. You just had four of the biggest NFL games of the year. A lot of people call last weekend the best weekend for the NFL. Not the championship weekend, the divisional round. You get two on Saturday, you get two on Sunday. It's basically your Elite Eight. Who was talking about college football last weekend into this week? I hang out with a lot of sports fans. I know obviously you do too if you're here on the show. Everybody was talking about Mahomes, The Lions blowing it. Can the Chiefs three-peat? The snow game in Philadelphia. Can you believe this Jaden Daniels kid out of LSU, now with the Washington Commanders, formerly with Arizona State? My gosh, you facepalm on that one, but things are fine in Tempe, so it's all good. But that's what people were talking about. And then it's like, oh, that's right. We're going to wrap up the college football season on Monday night. Oh, that's right. Now, SEC fans were like, no one's talking about the playoff championship because we're not in it. Hark, yuck, 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 yuck. Bunch of fools and dopes. No. It could have been Alabama and Georgia, and nobody would have talked about the game on Monday night leading up to it until Monday. Then it got some juice on Monday, but even then it was like NFL playoff reaction. This season has to be over by New Year's. No ifs, ands, or buts anymore. They've got to stop trying to compete with the NFL. I don't like it ending on a Monday night. I know some of you say, hey, it's Monday night football, whatever, what's the big deal? This season should be over on New Year's. That's when the college football season needs to end. Okay, there's nothing more to it than that. If you got to start a week early, you start a week early. Week zero is now week one. It's late August. People are craving for football by that point. Now, some are saying it's too hot in the South to do it in late August. Hell, I'm not going to try to predict what God and Mother Nature have planned. It is snowing in Florida right now, okay? There is snow on the ground in Florida. There's like 8 inches of snow in New Orleans. Don't play the weather game. You can't do it. It doesn't make any sense. When the Gulf of Mexico, excuse me, that's now the Gulf of America. I will correct myself on that, and I'm glad I did. Welcome to the Gulf of America, baby. When it's snowing in the Gulf of America, well, guess what? I'm not going to be the weatherman here. I'm not going to plan the college football season around whether or not I think it's going to be hot or cold. If you got to start week zero to make it happen, then make week zero the new week one. If you got to blow out the conference championship games, blow out the conference championship games. They have lost all juice. You just had two teams play for a national championship that did not play in conference championship games. Ohio State didn't, and obviously Notre Dame never does. What's the point of them? Outside of being moneymakers for the leagues, and that's good, that's important, but you tell me what's the point of them. Especially if you can trade that for bigger ratings, better numbers, and as a result, more revenue on the back end if you move up the college football playoff and the entire season as a whole. That's the way this should be going for this sport right now. It is time for changes. The people that run this sport are just, God bless them. I think their hearts are in the right place, but it's just, they're not getting it right. And also, what you would do then, if you wrapped up the season by New Year's, what then happens? Well, what then happens is you have a transfer portal that opens up for 10 days. Everybody can go into the portal starting January 2 to January 10. You figure out where you want to go, and then you're where you want to be for the new semester, which usually starts mid-January. Instead, this ridiculous, like, multi-week window, but if your team plays in a bowl game after the window closes, which was December 28th this year, I believe, then what you can do is you can enter up the 5 days after your team season is over. So theoretically, we could have guys from Notre Dame and Ohio State hitting the portal up until January 25th, when college is well underway in the spring semester. I know no one cares about the school part of this anymore, but can we kind of pretend a little bit like we're abiding by the higher educational standards that exist at these colleges? Like, just pretend, make us all feel good a little bit, like these are still student athletes to some degree. This is crazy. And also, this helps every other team, because some teams are out there wondering, do I take this guy in the portal or not? Because I don't know if this backup at Ohio State wants to get in, and he's been kind of lukewarm about it. I know you're not supposed to tamper. Okay. He's been kind of lukewarm about it. What do we do? How do we make this work? What's the answer here? Make it a 10-day window. Everybody gets in that wants to get in. Try to find a home. That's it. Right now, it's a game of musical chairs, and it's not working. It is broken. and I love this sport way too much to watch it break in front of our eyes. And if you're a Big 12 fan, listen, this league right now is in a very good place, but it can be in a better place. It's going to take money to do it, but it can be in a better place. And that's something that, you know, cannot be overlooked and should get talked about a lot by the Big 12 and get talked about by these fan bases. And I know that you guys are talking about it in your own fan groups. That stuff makes a very big difference. All right. Now, I will say this much. Now that the college football season is over, we've got some data here that I want to share with you. The Big 12 was by far the most exciting conference in the country, and I have the proof of it. All right. The Big 12 led the nation in fourth quarter lead changes and go-ahead scores in the final minute of conference games. Nobody had more lead changes in the fourth quarter and go-ahead scores in the final minute of conference games than the Big 12. That's it. This was the most exciting league in college football, hands down. And then also, this is a good... use this one on your SEC friends, okay? And you can read these stories at heartlandcollegesports.com. You can sign up for our free forums. I would love for you to do that. Great way to interact with myself and other Big 12 fans away from, you know, this show. In the college football bowl season, the Big 12 led the way with the two highest rated and most watched bowl games outside of the college football playoff. So how about this? All right. You look at these numbers, and the two games that got the most views were the most watched. Here we go. It was the Pop-Tarts Bowl with 6.8 million viewers between Iowa State and Miami. And then the Alamo Bowl, which was all Big 12 between Colorado and BYU. That is huge. All this talk about how no one watches the Big 12, it's a second-tier conference. Outside of the playoff, there was not a bowl game that did better than the two Big 12 games. That's damn impressive. The Big 12 should be singing that from the rooftops down at HQ. That is enormous for this league. Now, yes, Deion Sanders, Travis Hunter, Shadur, they're big-time eyeball draws. We get that. We saw it all season long for Colorado. But Deion's not going anywhere. Okay, he's not taking that Cowboys job. He's not going to be in the Dallas sidelines next year. It's not going to happen. It was fun when it was being talked about. The odds have plummeted. It's not going to happen. He's staying at Colorado. BYU is a national brand. Always has been, will continue to be. Miami, Iowa State, okay, fine. Miami might have driven the ratings, but it was a great game. Cam Ward didn't play in the second half. Iowa State is building an impressive brand nationwide. They got a head coach that's getting talked about for multiple NFL jobs, right? I mean, that is happening. Iowa State fans get annoyed when you say it. I think it's great, right? Because Campbell keeps proving he's loyal, but your guy's getting talked about for NFL gigs. If I told you, told you 10 years ago, you'd have a coach and he'd be getting talked about for the NFL and then he'd come back every year. You'd be like, that's amazing. Pinch me. That can't be real. Now you talk about the NFL stuff and it's like, shut up. Don't you dare talk about it. It's like, no, this is great. Just relax. You guys have something going there. It's awesome. And you can look up and down the Big 12 and make the case for a lot of these brands. Arizona State's a growing brand. We mentioned BYU, Colorado, Iowa State. The Kansas schools will continue to be relevant. Oklahoma State's got to get back on the saddle with Mike Gundy. You hope that happens this year. TCU's a couple of years removed from being in a natty. We just talked a lot about what Tech is capable of doing, right? Utah, I know they had an awful year, but do not forget about the Utes and what they bring to the table and what they did in the Pac-12. And West Virginia with Rich Rod and Pat McAfee representing that brand can be enormous for West Virginia and the Big 12 as a whole. These are great brands at a very exciting time. And I'm telling you, do not discount that. as much as we complain, and I have complained about college football media and the way that they play favorites with the Blue Bloods, in the end, right now, the Blue Bloods are as irrelevant, and I don't mean the teams, I mean the idea of Blue Bloods, are as irrelevant as they've been in a very long time. And that is a really good thing for the Big 12 because there aren't any in the Big 12. That was the knock and has been the knock on the Big 12. But it may not matter if this bizarre Wild West of college football keeps up. Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports, we are grateful that you are here. Thank you, thank you, thank you for making us a part of your life, a part of your weekly, daily life, whether it's on the podcast, on the YouTube channel. Share the show with a buddy. That would be great. We'd appreciate you doing that. And we will be talking to you very, very soon. Subscribe to the channel. Join us in the forums. Have a great day. And go Big 12.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.